You know what? Don't even worry about it. Everyone was so drunk, I bet no one even remembers what you said.
I remember. I blogged the whole thing.
www.creedthoughts.gov.www/creedthoughts. Check it out.
Last year, Creed asked me how to set up a blog, wanting to protect the world from being exposed to Creed's brain. I open up a Word document on his computer and put an address at the top. I've read some of it. Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 32. We're getting ready for preseason game number one, which is today. Before we get into camp preseason, we got to take care of the housekeeping. You already know the drill. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Go follow Wise at NYG Daily. Go follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. Every subscription helps us grow. We really appreciate each and every listener. We're going to be doing the giveaways. Preseason game number one's tomorrow. Giveaways start the next week. It's going to be some tailgate items. Stay tuned for that. We're on iTunes. We're on Audio Boom. We're on Google Play. We're on Stitcher. There's really no reason you shouldn't be subscribed to us. Last but not least, it's been a long time coming. We got Ryan Dizdier. You follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Dizdier. You just recently changed your handle, didn't you?
I did, yeah. People at work said probably a good idea just to make it easier to find me. So.
There you go. It threw me off the other day. But you can follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Dizdier. He has unbelievable coverage for Gotham SN, for the New York Giants. Blows me out of the water. Ryan, welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me, guys. Very happy to be here with you. Excited to talk some Giants football. Got a bunch of Eagles friends, so don't get to do that a whole lot.
Yeah, there we go. Uh-huh. And actually, one more thing that I did forget to mention during the housekeeping before we get to the football, the Fantasy League. You guys have been tweeting at me. Thank you for reminding me. We were talking pre-show. We have decided on a date. So clear your calendars. August 31st. It is a Thursday. It will be in the evening. I'm going to make up a time right now, 8 p.m. So Thursday the 31st at 8 p.m., that's when the draft is going to be. If you guys didn't tweet at me the first time, the hashtag is hashtag play NYG Weekly if you want to join the league. If I already promised you a spot, still tweet it out just so I don't forget. And tomorrow when I sit down to watch and GIF the Giants game, I'll be going through all the entries. I will be shooting everyone a DM with all the details. I'll create the league. I'll take care of everything. So that's about it. All right, let's get to the football. We got to talk camp first before we get into the preseason game. Not too much going on over the last week that's really that exciting, but we're going to get into it. Camp impressions so far, likes and dislikes. I'm just going to throw it up in the air. One of you two can grab it and take it away. So camp impressions, go.
Go ahead, Ryan. You're the guest. I'll let you start.
Thank you very much. So generous. I was just going to say, I think something that has stuck out to me just following, you know, what's going on Twitter is what's happening with both of the Elis. As we all know, anyone who watched the Giants last year knows Eli Apple had a pretty up and down rookie year. He had his highs and he certainly had his lows. But from all accounts, he's been blowing it out of the water so far this summer, just, you know, lighting it up every. I mean, the guys who cover training camp every day, it's three standouts from camp. Usually it's Eli Apple's name in there. Obviously, I don't know how much to buy into it. I'm excited to see how he plays in the first live-action preseason, but I think that's definitely worth noting for a second-year emerging player. And then also the other Eli, of course, white Eli, Eli Manning. I saw something get tweeted out the other day. I believe it was by Art Stapleton, who said this is the best Eli's looked since his time covering the team. And I think that's also noteworthy for a guy who's, you know, been in the league since 2004, for him to be not impressing people enough to the fact that they're putting that much behind their words saying this is the best he's looked since, you know, X. I think that's a crazy, crazy development. And I really do think it has something to do with, you know, him wearing a glove now, him being, you know, a little more swag to his game. I'm excited.
He also got the haircut. Don't forget the haircut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's wearing Jordans, too. It's yeah. Crazy.
Yes. Swagged out. He's going through the midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, like you said, both Eli's, definitely good things to point out. And one thing that I want to talk about in regards to Eli Apple, and we'll get to the offense a little bit more with Eli Manning. With Eli Apple, and I feel like Landon Collins really set the bar sort of high for second-year defensive backs, and it's such an odd thing to sort of zoom in on, but it's been said, and not only by some of the new guys, but if you go back, people have said that Spags' defense is not an easy defense to learn. And when he came in the first year, the defense wasn't great. Especially as a rookie, you're coming out of college, you got to learn a whole new system and one of the harder systems to learn. And you saw that even like the Giants' defense was great last year, but it seemed to gel even more as the season went on when everyone started to pick up the defense. So you get guys who are talented, you know, first-round picks, Eli Apple, who got a lot of playing time last year in Spag's system. Now he had a full offseason to train, develop himself even more. We should be expecting big things from him. So definitely a great point there, bringing up Eli Apple. And then on Eli Manning, I mean, I've been pretty outspoken about saying pretty confident that he's going to have a bounce back year. I do want to talk about the offensive line with you guys, but just in terms of the weapons that he has now, he's got three viable tight ends, one that is capable of being an absolute superstar, at least from what we've seen so far. And he's got Brandon Marshall right now, Sterling Shepard, under the radar, amazing rookie season, 800 yards, 8 touchdowns. There's no reason that this offense is going to be bad. There really isn't. It's going to be top half of the league. I'm saying that with full confidence right now. If it isn't, you guys can come back and boo me, you can tweet at me, whatever.
This I'll pull a Sheldon Richardson.
Oh, yeah?
There's 74 reasons why the offensive line.
Hold your horses on the Eric Flowers slander, which is weird. It feels weird to say that, to be very honest with you guys. Let's finish the camp impressions. All right, so Ryan, you had the two Eli's. Yeah. Weiss, I'll throw to you.
I'll make it short and sweet. For me, outside of Eli Apple and Eli Manning, B.J. Goodson. I think for the longest time we've been waiting to find that middle line, like the tight end of the future, and I think we found that with Evan Engram. We've sort of been looking for the next great giant linebacker, and B.J. Goodson, man.
The next Antonio Pierce.
He might be better than Antonio Pierce.
The way time will tell.
Time will tell on that, but I've been – early impressions on B.J. Goodson have been very, very good. I mean, you look at him, fourth-round pick, didn't get much playing time that last year, asked to step into the middle linebacker role. You talked about how difficult Spag's system is, so for him to step in, sort of maintain it, that's pretty awesome. And I'm going to stay on the defensive side of the ball. Before camp started, I was so looking forward to Andrew Adams versus Darian Thompson, but it just seems like Darian Thompson has once again grabbed that starting free safety spot by the neck, and he's just going to be the starter. He looks so good in camp. When you see the clips of him, he moves well, very, very fast to the ball. So I'm really, really excited for that duo in the back in the secondary with Collins and Thompson. So dislikes, obviously I'm going to go to the inconsistencies on the offensive line. I still feel like the same issues that have haunted this team for the last couple years are still going to haunt this team this year. And then, you know, on top of all that, the running game, sort of the clips that we're seeing, they haven't really seen, you know, those breakout runs from any of the running backs. I know a lot will tell during the preseason, but haven't really gotten much to talk about when it comes to the running backs. And that could be because of, you know, the offensive line, but, and the fact that they're facing probably one of the best run defense in the NFL, but still you want to see something positive from that, and I just haven't heard much. So that's my dislike.
Yeah, you mean you brought up the Darian Thompson versus Andrew Adams storyline, which I feel like was everyone's main competition, at least that they were looking at going into camp. And you're right, we have seen a lot of Darian Thompson. We've seen some highlights. He's moving really well. And that was always sort of like the scouting report on him. He moves well. He's a ball hawk, really good at plucking the ball out of the air. Now, it should be, you know, a given, and it should be an obvious thing to say. It's a good thing having too many safeties that are startable, right? So, Andrew Adams was awesome last year, and if Darian Thompson wins the job, all that means is he's better, and it gives Spags flexibility. You can run three safety sets now, and, you know, I don't know, fans should just be excited about it. The offensive line.
You can bring Landon Collins into the box more.
Exactly, and someone who was it that had that quote in camp that said that he's a hitting machine. He's just looking to hit people.
That was Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah, Janoris Jenkins. There you go. So
Jack Rabbit.
Got to grab it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm very excited to see that. And, Weiss, you brought up something that I've actually been thinking about but haven't really vocalized at all just because I'm a Paul Perkins stan. And it's the lack of, I'll just say, reporting that's coming out of camp about the running game. And it makes you wonder whether they're struggling behind the offensive line or maybe McAdoo's being a little secretive because, I mean, listen, you all saw it. I saw it. Ryan, you saw it. Weiss, you saw it. Paul Perkins is good. And if given the volume, he's going to be an awesome first and second down running back. So I shouldn't be worried, but I'm a little, you know, a little wary now that I haven't heard that much. But we'll see what happens tomorrow, or today rather. Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's the one thing I'm going to keep a really close eye on. And not just Paul Perkins, but all the running backs.
Yeah.
Because as much as we're all fans of Paul Perkins, I think it's not a foregone conclusion to say that, you know, another back could step in and, you know, win some carries from Perkins, whether it's Darkwell or Gallman or even this kid Abdullah that's, you know, sort of been getting some shine from camp.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go offensive line for a little bit because I know we're both looking to, all three of us rather, looking to talk about it. We spoke about it with Dan Duggan last episode because he was the one that posted those two videos of Flowers in pass protection. It was disgusting. It was awful. And then we saw, and even McAdoo said, I believe Chad Wheeler getting, quote, beat like a drum, unquote, by Olivier Vernon. The tackle situation is worrisome to say the least. Now, I think I'm a bit higher on the offense than you are, Weiss, in regards to the offensive line. And Ryan, you feel free to step in here. But the offense, in my opinion, is more dependent on the play of the tight ends than it is on the plays of the left and the right tackle. Just because of the creativity, now you have Brandon Marshall, you have a legitimate outside threat, you have Evan Engram who can bust open the middle of a defense. I think that you have Odell who you literally can't guard him, you have Marshall who's always going to win a matchup against a second cornerback, and you have Shepard who can outrun any linebacker in the league, and you have Engram who can not only outrun any linebacker in the league, but also he's just bigger than most of them anyway. So for me, it's really a matchup game, and I believe, shout out to Dan Schneier, I think he tweeted this today or yesterday. You know, yes, the offensive line should worry you in terms of maybe the running game or Eli's health, but going out there and getting Evan Engram in the first round of the draft, signing Brandon Marshall, it's more of a matchup game for Ben McAdoo and Eli, and as long as he can get the ball out of his hands in a quick enough manner, there's always going to be at least one matchup on the field for them to take advantage of.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, and that's why I have a lot more faith in the offensive line this year. It's because last year it was, you know, the guys who were getting rolled out, and that was it. There was no backup plan. There was no, you know, breaking case of emergency. But now there are ways to game plan around deficiencies across the offensive line, like you mentioned with Marshall, with the tight ends. And I think that'll be a huge help. But even more so, I think that through the draft, although, you know, and I'm happy they didn't take a tackle or in the first round, adding Adam Biz in, you know, the late round, just adding more depth and having, you know, if Flowers really is just, you know, Eric Flowers once again and just showing no signs of improvement, okay, kick Pugh out to left tackle and just maneuver, you know, guys around. I think that in terms of depth, there's just so much more that Ben McAdoo can do this year if things start to go AWOL, and I think it's going to pay huge dividends, especially down the line late in the season.
No, definitely. Weiss, before I kick it to you, I just want to bring up, you know, it's not only just Evan Engram, but they brought in Rhett Ellison specifically to block, although Ben McAdoo did say that he was underrated as a receiver, so I'm curious to see how they get him involved in the passing game this year, but also another year of development for Jarrell Adams. So they could have two very, very good blocking tight ends on top of Evan Engram, and I think that's really going to help the offense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's great that they got all these weapons for Eli. They got Evan Engram, a tight end who can create mismatch. They have Brandon Marshall. Obviously, Odell and Sterling are coming back. But for me, it's just, look, if this team is going to win a Super Bowl, it's going to have to be able to run the ball a lot better than what they did last year. I know this offense is going to be a pass-heavy team, and they're going to put the ball in Eli's hands, but I just think for them to win games late in the season in the cold weather, if they go on the road again to Green Bay, they're going to have to be able to run the ball. And I see they're trying to find ways to help the running game. We saw there could be a chance that a fullback makes the roster, there could, you know, we talked about Rhett Ellison, we talked about Jarrell Adams. I just think that for me, the worrisome is not just, you know, the fact that the tackles are below average. It's because the offensive line as a whole has been really bad at run blocking. Now, you know, there is an experience in that room. Shane Vereen is the most experienced back, and he seems to be always in and out with injuries. You know, Perkins is going to be asked to do a lot, in my opinion, if he's going to be the lead back. They're going to, you know, we talked about this last year with McAdoo. He's not going to go away from the running game. The running game is always going to be there. One of the key components of Mac's offense is, you know, balance, being able to run and throw. And I just think that, look, if you're going to win games late in the season and into the playoffs, you know, you play good defense, you know, you got talent on offense, but you got to be able to run the ball. And that's what worries me about this team. And that's, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be to hold this team back, but, you know, it is something just to watch as the preseason unfolds and we get into the regular season.
All fair points. I will point out, Paul Perkins, when he did get volume towards the end of the season, week 17 against Washington, averaged over 4 yards per carry. Week 16, over 4 yards per carry. Week 15, over 4 yards per carry.
But, you know, that was also – I will say one thing about that. He did have over 100 yards. But remember, last year they were seeing a lot of cover too. Those safeties were high, so they were able – you know, their holes were much easier to find because of the safeties so deep. This year, I mean, I don't know. I don't think teams are still going to play cover two on them and leave the middle of the field open for, you know, for Evan Ingram. So that it's just something to watch, in my opinion. But yeah, you're right. He did, when he had the volume of carries, he did show that he can be a lead back. I'm just a little bit worried going into the preseason. It's just something to watch, in my opinion.
No, fair points. Anything else on training camp before we get into preseason game expectations?
Didn't mean to cut you off
there. Go ahead. You're the guest. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Brandon Marshall looks like an absolute monster out there. He looks every bit of the player he did in 2015 when he was with the Jets and had that career year. And he looks like prime Brandon Marshall. And, man, I cannot wait to see him in the regular season. Wow. Like, having him and his presence, his physical presence in terms of what he can do in one-on-one, high pointing the ball, and then after the catch, you know, seeking contact and making people miss and breaking tackles, paired with Odell and Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram and Shane Vereen and Paul Perkins, like, that was such a great addition. And, you know, it's good to see that he's not taking the bait on this Sheldon Richardson garbage, and he's being, you know, a media savvy vet that he is. I'm just excited to see him play.
Yes, sir. I'm with you on that. I was going to ask you guys, how much do you put into Chad Wheeler getting first team snaps in practice the other day?
That is a great question. I've actually been thinking about it a lot. As much as one can think about a UDFA left tackle getting snaps in camp. And it's interesting. I mean, Eric Flowers looks like shit, so I mean, you might as well throw, you know, Wheeler at the wall and see what sticks, I guess. I don't think it means anything, really, but it certainly is interesting that at least McAdoo is willing to experiment.
For me, I think it shows that, you know, he has a good chance of making the 53-man roster if you're giving him first team snaps.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
So is he the backup left tackle? Is it sort of like a cryptic message to Eric Flowers? Who knows what it was? We've never seen something like that before. You know, Eric Flowers is usually beginning all the first team snaps throughout camp and maybe even last year as well. So for Wheeler to kind of step in there and get some first team reps, first off, he might have earned it, or he did earn it. Second off, I mean, we'll see what this means for Wheeler's spot on the 53-man roster. And is this sort of like a message to Eric Flowers, like, hey, we're not scared to pull you if we have to?
Definitely.
Yeah, I kind of looked at it how the Buccaneers handled Doug Martin this offseason and how they were kind of trying just to motivate him and, like, knowing, hey, we know this guy is going to be a big part of our offense and we need him motivated. We need him to have his head right. So, we're not going to promise him anything in the offseason. And I think it's kind of that same approach where, yes, I do think that Wheeler earned the opportunity to get some first team reps. But I also think it's kind of like, let's motivate 74. Let's try to get him, you know, light this fire underneath him, see what he can do when he's in the hot seat. And I mean, if that doesn't work, I don't know what's going to work with this guy.
I mean, Flowers is soft as baby shit. I mean, he goes around Twitter and Instagram blocking people left and right, so he's not the mentally toughest guy out there.
I just don't like his attitude. I hate his attitude.
Neither
do I. Yeah. You know, he shoves reporters, man. Come on. I mean, it's not just shoving. That was a big thing, but just the overall way he acts when in interviews. I was watching his interview the other day. I mean, you just don't have that attitude. I understand you're not outspoken. You don't like microphones.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, and I'm not here.
You're in New York, buddy. Get used to it. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm not here to stick up for the media. I could care less about the New York media. But I mean, come on, you know. You're answering questions, answer questions. You know, you don't act like your shit don't stink, buddy.
That's a great point. And whenever people bring up how I feel about Flowers, it's that, yeah, his play sucks, and I get that. But, like, if you suck as a player, that's one thing. But
at least be likable.
He doesn't – yeah, like, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't take the criticism that's being thrown his way and say, you know what, no, I have been playing poorly. I need to get better. He pulls the covers over his head, and he expects it all to go away, which is my biggest issue. Say something. Man up. You were a first-round pick. You need to play better, acknowledge it, get better.
A lot of the Giants season hinges on your shoulder in a sense where if you are a liability, then the Giants offense may struggle at times. And, you know, there were many times last season during games where he was a liability. The Pittsburgh game, the second Dallas game. You know, it's at some point, you know, you have to sort of and I listen, Ethan will vouch for me. I was an Eric Flowers apologist, but. Yeah. The way he acts, the way he talks, it's just, you know, and I sort of don't appreciate the way the organization kind of babies him and kind of coddles him and hides him and, you know, forces him not, and allows him to not have to speak to the media. You are the starting left tackle. You are the one that, you know, sort of holds the team back in some sense. And like you said, you are a top 10 pick, you know, and at some point, one of the flowers is going to blossom, right? You know, like.
Yeah.
So it's just my opinion. I mean, and I see him in camp. It's the same stuff. You have a good practice. You turn around and have a bad practice. But when is this sort of going to be like, when is enough enough? You know, everyone always talks about Odell. When is enough enough for Odell? But nobody seems to talk about, you know, Eric Flowers. You know, no one seems to question when enough is enough for him. So it kind of pisses me off in a sense.
All valid. And I'm on, listen, you guys know me. I started the hashtag not my left tackle campaign. I'm far from an Eric Flowers guy. I don't know whether it's just wishful thinking. I think he's going to be bad. I just don't think his play is going to affect the offense as much as people think because of the addition of both Rhett Ellison and Evan Engram. But time will tell. Let's talk about the preseason game. Let's talk expectations. Any sort of position battles you're excited to see. I'll throw one out there to start, and then whoever else wants to pick it up or comment on it. I'm excited to see Geno Smith versus Josh Johnson. Eli is going to be the starter, and then Davis Webb is going to be third string or maybe not dress. Who knows? I'm curious to see who wins the actual backup job. You got to think it's going to be Geno, but again, we'll see what the reps look like in game preseason game number one, as well as, you know, how each of them plays. So excited to see Geno because it seems like he's sort of got his head on straight. He's really got nothing to lose at this point. And, you know, he used to be a hater, obviously. He was on the Jets and not a very likable guy. But he seems to have sort of got his head on straight. So I'm excited to see the backup quarterback battle.
For me, it's defensive tackle. Who's going to be next to Snacks? You know, Rob Thomas has sort of been out with an injury. Jay Bromley was another guy who's had a good camp so far. We've heard a lot of good reviews from him. Can he beat out Dalvin Tomlinson? And we talk about, you know, contracts a lot. Jay Brown is entering a contract year. If he has a good season and, you know, the Giants defense plays well, you know, he'll get paid this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of motivation there for him. I'm excited to see that. Talk about the backup quarterback spot. I don't think we'll see Eli Manning tomorrow at all.
I hope not.
I think it'll just be, I highly doubt it. McAdoo said, we'll handle the first preseason game the same way we handled last year's. So if you remember last year's, Eli didn't play, Odell Beckham didn't play. I don't think we saw much of the first team defensive line last year, but we'll see what happens this year. Another spot is, you know, we got JPP, we got OV. You know, what about after that? Is it Okwara? Yep. You know, is it Avery Moss?
Avery Moss, who left camp with an injury, by the way.
Yeah, but I heard he was okay.
Okay, that's good.
Devin Taylor, the guy they brought in from Detroit. So that's something to watch, too, is who's going to step up and be sort of that third or fourth, you know, defensive end. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most. And can I say one thing about the preseason?
You absolutely
maybe,
can.
Maybe you guys will agree with me. So I used to really dislike the preseason. I used to hate it. I used to, like, not watch because nothing – I always tell myself nothing good comes out of the preseason because the only time there's news is when someone gets hurt.
Right.
Win-loss doesn't matter or anything like that. You're just hoping no one gets hurt. But nowadays, you know, I watch preseason, and it's so fun because you see guys on the back end of these rosters fighting for roster spots, giving it their all. And it's like, you know, it's sort of like a motivation thing. Like, you see these guys, like, they're working hard, you know, this is their opportunity to shine. And it's, you're not necessarily rooting for the team. You're rooting for the player to have, you know, a good game or a good camp and sort of rooting for him to make the 53-man roster. In the last couple of years, we've kind of had someone to root for, whether it's been Corey Washington, the receiver, who we thought was going to turn into something because he was great preseason. And, you know, last year, a lot of people were kind of rooting for Ryan Nassib just to have a good preseason. So, you know, his trade value could go up. That didn't happen. So, you know, I've become a really big fan of the preseason. I enjoy watching it. Now, obviously, that'll change if someone gets hurt. But I listen, the preseason is fun. And I hope I'm one of those few people that hopes they don't reduce the preseason games. I like them at four. I think it's a perfect scenario, especially the way these teams handle it now. They let these back-end guys play in the first game. Second game, you know, kind of roll those starters in there for a drive, two, a quarter, and then obviously the third preseason game. And then the fourth one kind of gives them that last look at guys. So I'm a huge preseason fan, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I do really like the preseason.
Certainly odd to be a huge preseason fan, but I think it's
fun to watch when you see guys fighting for roster spots.
It definitely is. No, I agree to that extent, but I mean, I'm not like, you know, woo, preseason. But, you know, no, but you do bring up a good point because, and at least when you look around other sports, right, you know, baseball right now, you know, the Mets just brought up two top prospects and, you know, in the NHL, you've got the AHL, so you can see some of the prospects, you know, during the NFL regular season, like the only time you get to see, you know, maybe some of these guys who are fighting for roster spots is like in the event of injuries. And again, they're thrown right into the fire and you don't really get to see them, you know, develop. This is sort of like the NFL's developmental league right now, where you get to see these young guys get better, learn the offensive systems, and say, you never know when your team's going to find the next Victor Cruz. And, you know, they have those few breakout games, and, you know, it does give you the opportunity to get to know some of these guys a little bit better as players.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
But do you know, I'm not like, woo, preseason, that's not me. Come on, man.
Staying on the topic, I'll start with something else. Just speaking of, you know, what makes the preseason so interesting and following these storylines, two guys I'm excited to see on both end of the ball. One is Travis Rudolph. Obviously, he was the great story, but I think what he can do after the catch is pretty impressive. And he always plays at top speed, which I really think is a good asset for a guy like him to have. Not the biggest guy, not the fastest guy, but he's always playing at 100 miles per hour. So I want to see what he can do, because when Sterling Shepard went down, well, you know, for a little bit, for like an hour, and I was freaking out at work, I was like, what are they going to do? Like, who are these receivers that are going to come and fill in? And he was one of the names a lot of people were bringing up. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And then on the defensive side, Dante Deion is my guy. I love him. I think he's could be a part of the defense.
Michael Hunter, baby.
I obviously don't think Dante can be a starter, but as a sub corner, I think he can add a little bit. I mean, I spent a good amount of time the other week just watching pretty much all of the college highlights on him for an article, and he has great ball skills. After he intercepts passes, he knows what to do. He gets to the end zone. He's feisty. He doesn't mind getting in there and, you know, mixing it up with offensive linemen, running backs. I just think health is an issue for him. So, A, I want to see how he can play and what he can do this preseason, this being his second with the team. And B, I want to see if he can stay healthy, and I'm hoping that he can.
Yeah, speaking of healthy, Michael Thompson, was he a cut today, technically?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, but he's probably going to go to IR. Cause he's
right,
waiver.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, another spot on the defensive side of the ball opening up. So, Dante Dion as well as Michael Hunter. Definitely going to get their licks in tomorrow. Any other preseason game expectations? I'm excited to see Davis Webb. I know I spoke about the backup quarterback position. I want to see Davis Webb bomb one out to Travis Rudolph. I want to see the cannon in action. And just to see his what his form looks like, what his footwork looks like, see if it's improved. I know that there were some reports out of camp that he's been working hard on it. So excited to see Davis Webb, potential future. And... I don't know. That's pretty much it. Another thing, I guess I'll say, offensive line configurations, because I do want to see if they move guys around and maybe take them out of their comfort zone a little bit. Try guys at guard, at tackle, just to, you know, play around with the puzzle, see what works.
Yeah, and real quick before I forget, also Mark Herzlick, getting some
linebacker
snap,
turn tight end, possibly.
Yeah, and I want to see what that's all about, because for so long I feel like what has been keeping him on the roster has been his versatility. Well, not versatility, his special teams play, leadership, run support, and now it might be his versatility if he can get in there and get some offensive snaps. So I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table wearing number 44.
Yeah.
I'll throw another one at you guys. Calvin Munson, linebacker, undrafted from San Diego State. That could be a guy that could sneak onto the 53 because of his special teams play. He's a hard hitter. Him and Eric Pinkins. I'll throw Pinkins in there, too.
Yeah, Munson's got a nose for the football. He's very good at dissecting where the ball's going.
Yeah, and a sleeper. I'll tell you this one. A sleeper for the 53-man roster right now is Khalid Abdullah, undrafted out of James Madison. Yes, I'm interested to watch him tomorrow, see how he runs, and see if he can sort of move up that depth chart.
All right. Shall we move on to some questions?
Yes, sir.
All right. Reach back like 13, whose display name is Tim's on a boat. This might be my favorite Twitter handle and display name combo. thoughts on bringing back the three safety look if Adams continues to improve and having Collins play more in the box? Do you kind of like Bob Sanders? I love the three safety look if both Adams and Thompson can stay healthy. Although I don't – all right. I think after Landon Collins' rookie season – both you and I, Weiss, were comparing him to Deion Buchanan. Said, play him in the box more. He'll be a strong safety linebacker hybrid.
Right.
Darian Thompson goes down. Andrew Adams fills in. Landon Collins, he's playing box safety, but he's playing all over the place. He had sacks. He had interceptions. I don't want to put him in a – to be unintentionally punny here. I don't want to put Collins in a box. You know, I want to see him play all over the field. If the three safety look is going to be like an occasional thing and they want to move him into the box, then yes, absolutely, I want to see it. But I think it just depends on Collins has got to be on the field at all times. So it'll be interesting to see what Spags does if all three are healthy and he wants to get them involved.
Yeah, the three safety look is fun, but, you know, if you play three safeties, then, you know, you're basically putting Collins at linebacker because I don't think you're going to take – one of the corners off the field. Right. So, you know, it kind of limits Collins per se. But there's many ways that they can get Adams on the field. So we'll see what they do. But like you said, it's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say I think I like the concept of bringing back the three safety is kind of the regular passing situation look more than I may actually like it in person once, like as you said, Weiss, we're putting Collins in at linebacker and kind of limiting what he can do. So in theory, I like it a lot, but in game, I don't think I would be as high on it.
Definitely. Heat and Giants, what unexpected players do you think will make the roster? Anyone step in here?
I'll throw a fullback at you.
All right. I love it.
Shane Smith.
I'm all in on Shane Smith. Bodybuilding sensation out of San Jose.
Do you see them running pass plays for him? I saw a couple of
really?
Yes. Okay. Running pass plays near the goal line for him.
You know, you know where McAdoo got that from? That's a Green Bay thing.
That's a John Kuhn thing.
Green Bay every year has like these miscellaneous giant white players that they'll just like run third and shorts to and goal line plays to all the time. And it's why I'm not too high on Ty Montgomery, by the way, if we're getting into a little fantasy speak. But they run at least like 6 or 7 times a game with like these fat white guys. And, you know, Shane Smith, not fat, he's ripped. He does bodybuilding. I would love if they brought the fullback back. And now I feel ashamed of myself for drawing a blank. Who is the fullback who also played defensive tackle?
Thinking of from a couple years ago? Or?
Yeah, 2 years
from
ago.
From Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Nikita Whitlock.
Yes. Yes. Nikita Whitlock. I've missed the
Nacho
fullback.
Libre.
Yes, the Nacho Libre. I've missed the fullback ever since he went down. Maybe it's because he can play both defensive tackle and fullback, and I thought that was fun. But no, that's a lie, because I love Madison Hedgecock. He like didn't have arms. It was awesome. It was like a little T-Rex out there. Yeah, bring back the fullback. I'm all on board for Shane Smith.
That's promising that McAdoo's changing things up like that.
It shows he's open-minded. Yeah.
Very, very high on the fullback. I'll say Darius Powell. Last year, I saw one or two headlines that were like, Darius Powell, kind of like Dez Bryant. And I was like, really? So, I mean, I need to see more of him, obviously. But he does have, you know, kind of the prototypical wide receiver body type. And he is pretty good at going up and getting the ball. Just watching a couple of his college highlights, it's pretty apparent that he has that in his arsenal. I just need to see more of him. So if he can have kind of a Corey Washington-esque preseason, I wouldn't be shocked if he steals a roster spot from a guy like Roger Lewis, who, you know, obviously is still on the bubble even after he was clear of all charges.
Yeah, no, the six wide receiver spot is going to be super interesting, because obviously it's going to be Odell Marshall, Shepard, Dwayne Harris, and then they're going to keep him around for special teams purposes, and he's going to be on the depth chart as a wide receiver.
I wouldn't pen in Dwayne Harris as a lock just yet.
All right,
maybe.
I feel comfortable doing so, but just for the sake of this hypothetical, so you have the fifth and sixth wide receiver spots open. Obviously, it was Tavares King and Otto Lewis last year. You got Darius Powell. You got Travis Rudolph, both having great camps. Do you think we see any surprises there?
See, I don't think you can sneak Rudolph or Powell. Definitely not Powell, but you ain't sneaking Rudolph to the practice squad. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, no chance.
Somebody's going to – because he can return kicks too.
Yeah,
somebody will bring him on.
So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be an interesting position battle to watch as well. So, I think we got one more question. How many touchdowns is Davis Webb going to throw tomorrow, 5 or 6? I'll go 10. Who cares? I think that's it. All right. Do we have any final words? Weiss, you usually have something for the end of the show.
I just want to thank Ryan for coming on. I'm a big fan of his Twitter feed.
Yeah, me too.
Everyone should follow him on Twitter.
Absolutely. So everyone, that's the plug, at Ryan Dizdier, D-I-S-D-I-E-R, not Dizdier. He is not French. A mistake that I made like numerous times when I first met him. Dizdier. Go follow him. Great follow. There's going to be a lot of good Giants content throughout the course of the season. I'm even going to plug. He did position blogs for each roster position for the Giants. Very in-depth. Go check him out on GothamSN.com. Ryan, any final words?
Just want to say thank you guys for having me on. Really appreciate it. And I just wanted to, in closing, go back to Eli Manning wearing a glove, pull up a stat that I dug up a couple months ago. So in 2015, without wearing a glove, Matt Ryan went 66.3 completion percentage, 4,591 yards, 21 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, pass rating of 89. In 2016, Eli without a glove, 26 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, 86 passer rating. It's comparable. So I'm not saying that Eli's going to win MVP, but I'm also saying that putting the glove on is going to not get him MVP. So thanks again, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And one more thing before I go, we talk about Eli Manning. Eli Manning is going to the Hall of Fame. I know there was some debate on Twitter
the
past this week. Eli Manning, this is like a yearly thing. Eli Manning is going to the Hall of Fame. I'm starting to think he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Me too.
They just put Kurt Warner in. But stop this, man. Y'all just wasting your time.
Ridiculous. He's seventh all-time in passing yards, seventh all-time in passing touchdowns. He's going to be sixth in both categories by the end of this season. He is number one on the active quarterback list for consecutive games started. He's third all-time, will pass his brother for regular season starts this year. And did I mention two-time Super Bowl MVP?
Mike against dropped. Tom Brady.
Against Tom Brady.
Your greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
The people out there. Not mine.
Not mine. Eli's my greatest
quarterback. He's mine. He's mine.
So that's that. You're an idiot if you don't think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. You're just a hater. That's it. Guys, thank you for tuning in. NYG Weekly. We'll be back. We'll talk about it after the show, but I'm going to say early next week to recap the first game, some more camp stuff. Subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter at EthanGSN, at NYGDaily, at GothamSN. Follow Ryan at Ryan Dizdier. You see, I just did it unintentionally. At Ryan Dizdier on Twitter, GothamSN.com. That's all. Oh, and fantasy coming up. Peace.
Stay healthy.